Yes, I was coaching to win. Yes, that was my decision solely.
Doug Peterson's explanation to what you, we, the Giants, NFL League office, what we all saw last night, and the Browns. You did it! Happy New Year, everybody. Let's go. There we go. There we go. 2021.
Yes, I was coaching to win. Yes, that was my decision solely. Listen, if there's anything out there that thinks that I was not trying to win the game, I mean, you know, Ertz is out there, Brandon Graham's out there, Darius Slay's out there. You know, all our top guys are still on the field at the end, so.
All right, there we go. Doug Peterson after the game. The fourth quarter benching of Jalen Hurts for Nate Sudfeld and the complete shutdown of that game last night while a playoff spot was on the line. Washington moves on. The New York Giants stay home. Do you buy it? Or do you think the Eagles did something that mocks and tears at the integrity of the game? George Sedano, around the horn to you.
Tony, I love the way we try to treat sports like church or religion or something. Like all of a sudden, the integrity of the game is on the line.
You don't think that matters?
It's a game. It's a game, for the love of God, okay? Like, what are we talking about here? And by the way, the Philadelphia Eagles, let's say they did break the integrity of the game. They don't owe anyone anything, okay? They don't owe the Giants anything. The Giants won 6 games this year. If the Philadelphia Eagles want to improve their draft slot from 9 to 6, that's their prerogative, and no one should have any business dealing with that. Now, however, with that said, at the beginning, I didn't buy what Peterson said, but then I did some deep dives, okay, on Jalen Hurts. You know what his completion percentage is this season? 52%. You know what that is, Tony? The worst in the league. So if he wants to throw Sudfeld out there for a couple of snaps, so be it. It's the last game of the year.
I'm picking up everything you're putting down, George. I'm going to go back and read your Heat Lakers columns from last year, and you tell me if you were talking about that as a game or a way of life, a new religion. Go ahead, Tim Kalishaw.
I look forward to George's, you know, FaceTime at his tribute to the 1919 White Sox and them throwing the World Series as the great heroes that they were for doing that. If apparently it doesn't matter to win, I don't know what we're watching these games for. There is a big difference between sitting some players, which the Pittsburgh Steelers did in a final game that didn't mean much to them, but it meant something to the Browns, and doing what the Eagles did, which was sitting players, and then finding yourself in a competitive game and then saying, we don't really want to kick the tying field goal. We'll go for it from the 4 with a crappy play that keeps Jalen Hurts in the pocket. And just because we're getting close, we're going to bring Nate Sudfeld into the game, who throws deep passes like punts, fumbles it away. And then even after all that, 6 seconds to go, we're not going to throw a Hail Mary. What the hell? It might work. We'll throw a 3-yard crossing route and get this game over with. That is tanking. That's the integrity of the game.
Yes. In your division, the NFC East, Tim Kalishaw, he takes personal offense.
In this proud division.
Emily Kaplan, how'd you see it?
I think the only reason we're talking about this is because it was a primetime game that concluded the season. And I'm having a hard time getting angry about it because Doug Peterson literally telegraphed what he was going to do in the middle of the week. We also saw the inactives before the game. And you know what? Was it the right time to put in Nate Sudfeld? No, it wasn't. It was the selfish time. The reason we don't see more tanking in the NFL is because it's typically a management decision. Coaches and players have too much on the line, too much pride. The only people who can be genuinely upset about this are Eagles players. I think of veterans like Jason Kelce and Zach Ertz, who've worked their butt off, sacrificed so much for this team over their career. What if this is it for them? Is this the way they go out? They deserve an apology from Doug Peterson or whoever made this.
But certainly not the New York Giants. They had their chance, and they won 6 games this year. Okay, Pablo Torre, on Doug Peterson's comments last night, playing to win.
Yeah, look, we just want, or Tim Kalishaw at least today wants, Doug Peterson to be better at lying. Like, lie to us better. Don't make it seem as obvious that you're trying to prioritize a draft pick over this game that is literally meaningless in all of the religious and football senses, by the way, that George was alluding to. Like, this has nothing to do with the Eagles being a better team, this game in specific. In fact, I would argue that if you wanted to actually maximize what they were going for at the end there, right, and you actually put in Nate Sudfeld to begin the game, no one would be mad. Tim Kalashaw would be happy. And in fact, I would argue that's even the more competitive move, Tony, because what they want to do as a team is be better long term. Mm-hmm. But in the present tense, yes, it was ugly in a primetime slot, as Emily said, and that's really why I think we're here. It's because people didn't enjoy watching a game that they felt was taken from them as fans, even though the Eagles were only protecting their own best interests as they're supposed to do.
Tim Kalashaw back in.
I mean, it mostly was what Pablo was saying, just lying straight to our faces, saying, my best players are out there, Slay's out there, Graham's out there. Okay, that suggests you think Nate Sudfeld had as good a chance to win that game as Jalen Hurts did at the end of the game. I don't think that's true. They also don't have a Nate Sudfeld problem. They got a Wentz-Hurts problem, and that's what they need to be evaluating, not their
third quarterback. So, George, if Peterson had come out and said, you know what, we wanted the number 6 pick, and now we got it, not the number 9 pick. We didn't want that. Would that be all right? Would it be all right for the league's integrity, once again, for him to say that?
Yeah, I don't care. Look, I think less people, to Pablo's point, would be upset, right? I think that ultimately you could still have some issues with him. There'd be some faux outrage about it, kind of like we're seeing now. But it would be less so because at least he'd be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Less word, Pablo Torre.
Yeah, if you want this to never happen again, change the incentives. Like, don't have a draft or have a draft lottery. Otherwise, you're just daring teams to not do this against, again, their own best interests.
And now we get a great headline from this game. Football team makes playoffs. We'll have more on Washington later in the week. Let's move to the AFC right now. Buffalo coming off 56 in a must-win game for the opponents. I mean, what are we talking about here? They're red hot. Baltimore, red hot. And then Titans needing superhuman Derrick Henry and the Doink to win the South. And the Colts, Phillip Rivers, bet working out this week for them. But most of all, the Cleveland Browns. The drought is over. And, of course, who do they get in the playoffs next week? The Pittsburgh Steelers. Pablo, whose run to the playoffs means most? Who can take the best shot at Kansas City?
So I will doff my cap to the Browns, even though the Browns have a negative point differential on the season.
How dare you?
Really only
how dare you, Pablo Torre?
Have had a run, despite that fact about them. That's not great. But it's the Bills, Tony. The Bills by DVOA, the Nerd King stat, has them as the best team right now, just ahead of the Chiefs, finally. And anybody who's watched the Chiefs and the Bills play over the last month or so knows that this is so. The Bills are the better team right now than the Chiefs, and the Bills deserve all the credit in the world for being, I think, a deserved should-be favorite.
A deserved should? What does that even mean? Are they the favorite or are they not the favorite, Pablo Torre? You have the Bills. You said it. Forget it. You've already said it. Put it all on the line. Emily Kaplan, do you believe the Buffalo Bills are the favorite in the AFC now?
I'm a deserved should-be follow-up here because, yeah, I do. If it wasn't for that Week 10 Hail Murray, they would be heading into this game on a 10-game winning streak into the playoffs. That wasn't in Week 10, but whatever, 10. And since their Week 11 bye, they have outscored opponents by 119 points. Plus, they get to enter the playoffs with a good juju of having Bills Mafia back in the stand. So, yeah, no team is hotter than the Bills right now.
Tim Kalashaw.
I think it's mostly about Buffalo, as my colleagues have said. I will give a little bit of a nod to Tennessee. Not that they played consistently this year. They played some messy games, and their defense isn't the best. But they know what they did in the playoffs last year. They know that formula kind of works. Tannehill is still better than people think, and Derrick Henry is out of his mind running the ball. And so now they got to get through Baltimore, and that's not easy. But if they do that, I think they're at the same level as Buffalo as a team that has a shot to go all
George
the way.
George Sedano.
We're forgetting about a team that Tim just mentioned. The Baltimore Ravens have won 4 in a row, including putting up 47 points against the Cleveland Browns. They're rushing for over 200 yards a game with all their running backs, with Lamar Jackson. There was some erosion earlier with Lamar Jackson, some regression, but he looks like he's the MVP candidate again over the last 4 games. He looks more like the guy we saw last year. Plus, again, this roster, okay, was the best roster as far as construction was concerned, to potentially beat the Chiefs because they can run the ball, because they can control the clock, because it puts the Chiefs in a situation where they have to score quickly, right? So to me, it's the Ravens of all the teams in the AFC that could potentially give the Chiefs a run for their
money. I'm glad you all gave your opinion and how you feel about certain teams in the NFL. How dare you not even mention the Cleveland Browns? What, new year, new Browns? Let's go, Tim Kalisha, please.
You know, I like the Browns.
Oh, I'm glad you like them. This is great. Okay.
Okay, stop. No, it gets a huge. It's like when Buffalo finally made the playoffs and ended their long drought a couple years ago. Then you can just play football after that. And I think next year this helps Cleveland more than it does now. I'm not sure it's great to play Pittsburgh again after you just kind of showed your cards on what you have to do to beat them. While Pittsburgh didn't care about that game, but they are finally over there.
Emily?
You know, I don't want to get too spiritual here, but life is all about timing. And I think of Kevin Stefanski, who was up for this job 2 years ago, didn't get it, went to Freddie Kitchens, and now he gets the job and is the adult in the room that they needed. No, this team isn't perfect. They're the only team in the playoffs with a negative point differential in offense and defense. Even the Redskins are better than that. But they've got a culture. There's been no drama. There's been no,
Yeah, you did. It's all right. We'll move on to Pablo Torre.
That's okay. I'm so sorry. So did the NBC broadcaster.
Yes, yes, he did. Go ahead, Pablo. On the Cleveland Browns.
But hold on. I have a really important question here. Does anyone on this panel actually plan to take the Browns over the Steelers this weekend? Because what we just saw, the Browns narrowly beating a team that didn't play any of its good players, to now play that team with its good players seems like a very unlikely proposition to me. So, sorry, Browns fans, but that's
oh, man, you guys are unbelievable here. 3 weeks ago, the Pittsburgh Steelers, you thought they were going to lose every game they ever suited up for. And now the Cleveland Browns have no shot just because they've... The last 17 games in Pittsburgh, that great stat, that's not this Browns team, George Sedano.
No, this Browns team is actually one that has a culture, right? That actually has a game plan. They're out there playing good defense. They're running the ball as well as anyone. And the game isn't just solely on Baker's shoulders, which has proven to be a pretty good deal for them.
All right, taking a break here. Coming up, did Aaron Rodgers lock down MVP with his lambasting, George, of the Bears? Or could Derrick Henry stop the 2000 and put him over the top? We'll be back and buy or sell.
Get the t-shirt.
And why have you guys all given up on Patrick Mahomes? He's only won 23 of his last 24 games.
How did we tell him basting into the new year?
Around the Horn is presented by Crown Royal Regal Apple. Great taste is great taste is great taste. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best-dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person, too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code HORN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
T-minus 1 week until the national championship. Hit me with the music.
Boom.
Yeah. Stop me when this sounds familiar. The playoff games were not close. What Ohio State and Justin Fields did to Clemson, did to Dabo. Can we show Ohio State's 11 best passes, 11 most devastating plays? Can we do that? And oh yeah, Alabama's better than Notre Dame. George, what did you learn from the playoff games?
That Notre Dame doesn't belong, number one. Number two, that Dabo got a slice of humble pie. And number three, that Justin Fields, Tony, is the best player we saw on those fields this weekend. Ohio State amassed over 600 yards in total offense. Justin Fields had three passes of over 45 yards for touchdowns. He was incredible, not to mention the fact that he got drilled on one play and toughed it through.
Right now, are you telling us that you would take Justin Fields over Trevor Lawrence with the number one pick in the draft, George?
I would say that, yes.
Wow, Tim Kalischoff, floor is yours.
I don't know if I would do that, but Fields was amazing. And I think what I learned was we should have paid less attention to Ohio State's very brief schedule this year and more attention to that Clemson game a year ago where they were out playing the Tigers and they got kind of a rough call on a turnover that was going to be a touchdown. And that swung the game back in Clemson's favor. This Ohio State team is as loaded as Alabama is. I think the game should be a toss-up.
Emily Kaplan.
Yeah, I watch a lot of Big Ten football, so I am not surprised to see Dabo Swinney wrong here, and Ohio State is slightly better than the 11th best team in the country. I will say this after watching Alabama, though. Devonta Smith, that kid is the real deal. He's going to be such a monster in this game, and Ohio State's secondary is not good. It actually ranked 116th in FBS this year. That could be a Mitch Mass nightmare.
Good stat from Kaplan. Pablo Torre.
I have to return to what George was saying, though, about Trevor Lawrence being underneath Justin Fields in that hierarchy, because that seems crazy to me. And I know Justin Fields played an amazing game, the game of his life. You just did that. Totally true. But the last four games he's played, he was bad against Indiana. He was awful against Northwestern the week before that. Like, we don't have a huge sample of Justin Fields being that good. And now, in terms of this game coming up, Tony,
I mean, we have a sizable sample of Justin Fields being good. I believe he's lost one game in his college football career. Or do I have that right? One or two? So it's sizable. But I hear what you're saying. There's a lot of NFL people who believe that Trevor Lawrence is number one no matter what. We'll move on.
It's good.
NFC yeah. Green Bay home throughout. New Orleans gets a shot to get Kamara back because of the schedule. Their game in Chicago Sunday. Lucky break. Seahawks, Rams know each other well. Bucks coming in hot to play football team. No structural damage in the knee of Mike Evans. That's some good news coming for Tampa Bay today. Tim, is Green Bay far and away the team here, or is there any other team rising for you?
I don't know about far and away, just maybe away from the rest of the field. They're better, and Aaron Rodgers seems to be on that kind of roll. Yeah. He was on 10 years ago. Hard to believe it was that long since he came to Dallas and won, where he just, it didn't matter who was around him, seemingly, and he was just on fire, and I think that's going to happen again.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Green Bay is the team here, but I wouldn't want to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are buzzing their last four games. It's an us-against-the-world mentality. They're souped up on their avocado ice cream. They had 21 fourth-quarter points in a pretty much meaningless Week 17 game. Like, you don't want to play that.
Pablo Torre.
I would warn you, though, the New Orleans Saints and all of this, Tony, they got a gift from the NFL scheduling gods. They got to play on Sunday instead of Saturday, which means Kamara might be back, which means the running backs may be back. That team, when healthy, is as good as anybody, so give me the Saints.
Sedano.
I'm buying the pack, Tony. Aaron Rodgers, 125 quarterback rating, second highest in the history of the sport, and he had 48 TDs this year. His punter only had 46 punts. He had more TDs than they had punts.
Your MVP, or did Derrick Henry get to 2,000 yards kind of sway you a little bit?
No.
Rodgers?
He's my MVP.
Kalischoff? Rodgers?
Sure. Yes.
Rodgers.
Kaplan?
I like Rodgers, but Henry shouldn't be discounted.
Pablo Torre.
Josh Allen, man. Come on. What are we doing?
Oh, you are so high in Buffalo. Okay, I'll get points just for the vote there. We'll move on. Let's get back to the Miami Dolphins, please. They needed to win Sunday to make the playoffs. They did not. They let up 56 points. Two or three interceptions. How all this played out, Emily, the complete letdown yesterday and the number three pick because of their trade with Houston coming their way. What should they do? Could they take a quarterback?
No, big picture, nobody expected anything from this team this year. The fact that they were playing a game with playoff implications in the last week is good. They've got to be happy with what they got at Brian Flores.
All right, but nobody expected them to let up 56 in a game where Buffalo was playing backups in the second. Pablo Torre, how about you?
I can't appreciate Josh Allen that much and not give Tua more time, but I will say a really smart thing to do would be to draft a receiver top three and then bring back Ryan Fitzpatrick. Just get on your knees and genuflect and beg for him to come.
Okay, all right, that's enough out of that. George Sedano, how about you?
Tony, unless Justin Fields or Trevor's there, you don't take a quarterback at three. Tua's wide receiving group, third in most drops this season, 27th in yak. Listen, he needs weapons. They had a terrible offense around him.
You see.
Two quarterbacks are going to go first. That means the best tackle to come into the draft in the last 10 years or whatever, Sewell, is going to be sitting there to block for Tua and whoever for the next 10 years. You take him, you don't backdraft.
I'm shocked none of you guys are coming in hard on this team. 56 points in a game they needed to win to make the playoffs. That's what they allowed.
They're not good.
Draft some defense.
Well, they're not bad, though. I mean, I know Tua's got nobody around him, but Ryan Fitzpatrick, in the time he was playing, managed to put together a top 10 passer rating season. That's what happened here. All right, we got to get Kalashaw and Kaplan are going away, which means Sedano and Torre in showdown and maybe a FaceTime tribute for the right to tribute and honor and roast Dan Le Batard in 30 seconds. Or 2 minutes, or 4 minutes, whatever.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Around the Horn is presented by Crown Royal Regal Apple. Great taste is great taste is great taste. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
George, Pablo, good luck in showdown. Six job openings right now in the NFL with Jacksonville and the LA Chargers and the New York Jets adding to Atlanta, Houston, and Detroit. What's the best position, George?
I'm going to go the Houston Texans, Tony. Deshaun Watson literally put up an MVP type of season, despite everything else falling apart around him, from coach to GM to players all falling around him.
How, George, are you in LA and not taking the Chargers? The Chargers with the guy who just set the rookie quarterback passing touchdown record, second all time in terms of rookie passing yards. That's the job, Tony, right there in Georgia City.
Because they're the Chargers. That's why.
Point Pablo Torre. We'll move on. Steph, 62, after all the slander, what does it prove, Pablo?
It proves that we need to respect the institution of Steph Curry, Tony. The guy is a unique historical talent. Respect what he can do despite all of these circumstances.
Tony, what it proves is the Warriors need to put better players around him very quickly, not Andrew Wiggins or Kelly Oubre, guys who can really help him win another championship because he's capable of doing
that. That peak era is going quickly. Do you see the stat? Second oldest to get to 60. Only Kobe in his last game was older. That's incredible. All right, George Sedano, I'm going to give you 30 seconds of FaceTime. I think I know where it's going. Please.
Thank you, Tony. Listen, I got to make sure we shout out our buddy Dan Le Batard today. It is his last day at ESPN on the radio show on HQ. And look, Dan, I remember, even though you're 8 years older than me, I remember reading you as a child and thinking to myself, what a clown. And then all of a sudden I got to meet you and we became friends over the last 20 years. And I thought to myself, what a clown. Nonetheless, we still love you. And we wish you all the best. Thank you for everything you've done for every single one of us here at ESPN and for what you've done for Latino journalists in the media. We love you, buddy.
And Stu Gatz, Mike Ryan Ruiz, Chris Cody, Tony, Roy Bellamy, Billy Gill. And to Dan, I say this. You are the...
Happy Hour is presented by Crown Royal Regal Apple. Drink responsibly.